Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians chapter 1. Holy Scriptures declare, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are for this precious time to be able to call upon you. And Lord, I pray, help us this evening to worship. Help us that we might truly hear. Lord, that we might truly perceive. I pray for these that have been mentioned. Lord, have mercy according to your perfect holy will. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. We started this book a couple of weeks ago, and we considered last time the glorious truth of God's electing grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, continuing on in the Holy Scriptures, I want us to consider the blessed truth set forth in God's Word concerning predestination. You know, I don't think anyone, if they were asked, do you think that Almighty God is going to do what pleases him? I don't think you'd have a problem with anybody answering in the affirmative. They'd say, well, I think God's going to do what God has been pleased to do. Well, if I ask, I said, well, do you think that the Lord determined what he was going to do? If he's going to do what he's going to do you think he's determined to do it? Well, I guess he would. I guess he'd, you know. I'm getting ready, Lord willing, to preach this message. Do you know I decided, being led of God's Spirit to start this book, I determined before I got up here to preach that I was going to preach, Chuck, out of this passage right here. I determined beforehand. I predetermined that I was going to preach out of Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6. Almighty God, who does not change, has determined the scriptures set forth eternally to do that which is his absolute pleasure and will and counsel. God's will never changes because God doesn't change. So tonight we want to consider this blessed truth concerning predestination. Predestination is what it means. It means to set the limit in advance. That's the definition of it. To set the limit in advance or to mark out before concerning a final destination. To mark it out before. Almighty God has determined before the foundation of the world and has marked out before and has set the boundaries of all that He's everlastingly made. The earth is the Lord's. I could go to Romans 9 and we could read right now and read concerning the potter and the clay. Does the potter have the right to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The problem that men by nature have with God's electing and predestinating grace is that they accuse God of not being fair. But I want you to stop for just a minute and realize something. If God Almighty left all men to themselves to do what man wanted to do, all men would perish. In Adam, all died. All men in Adam, in Adam's loins. All of mankind was in Adam's loins. And in Adam, as Adam being our representative, here's mankind in the garden. And let me tell you what mankind did. Mankind died. When Adam rebelled against God, they died spiritually. Sinned against God, and the wages of sin is death. Paul said, if God had not left us a seed, if there had not been a remnant, according to the election of grace, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd perished. So election and predestination is totally concerning God's mercy and grace. Someone would say, well, why didn't He elect everyone? The only answer, Mitch, that I can give is that He wasn't pleased to do so. I have no other answer. I'm just expounding God's word. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not him that willeth, not him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. All I can say is that, Lord, have mercy on me. Predestination. Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy. And the path to glory, to all that God's been pleased to have mercy and compassion upon, has been set, predestinated, limited, before the foundation of the world. And it's for this purpose. It's in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And the marvelous mystery of Almighty God's everlasting covenant of grace. The Father had one Son, the eternally begotten Son, the only begotten, the only set forth, the only one. Begotten means to birth. The only birthed of the Father. conceived by the Holy Ghost, one Son. And the only begotten of the Father was full of grace and truth. And this only begotten of the Father, the Word Himself, God Himself, totally God, who never changed, but took upon Himself the nature of humanity, the Christ. John 1:14 said He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, and we beheld His glory. That is, we beheld the glory of the God-man. John said, we saw Him. The glory as the only begotten of the Father. The one that was asleep in the ship. And the waves were boisterous. He was asleep. He was a man. He was totally man. God doesn't sleep. But the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep. He was asleep. And the waves were coming in, and the disciples called to Him, Master, do you not care that we perish? And He stood up and He spoke to the wind. He said, be still. It was a perfect calm. And John said, we beheld His glory. We saw God and man in one person. When he wrote the general epistle, 1 John, John said, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes. That means, he said, we stared at Him. We've seen Him with our eyes. We stared at Him, and we've looked upon. I used to read that, and I thought, well, is he not saying the same thing? He says, we've seen Him with our eyes, and we've looked upon Him. First one means we stared upon Him. Second one means we perceived Him. A lot of them looked at Him. Only His enlightened people, His sheep, called out of darkness, perceived Him. But Peter said, and the Lord said, will you go away also? Peter said, where are we going to go? We're sure You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. We've seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. God came in the flesh, John said. Well, concerning the Father's beloved Son, this is what the Scripture says concerning Him as being our federal head and our Savior. The Scripture says in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Almighty God eternally purposed to adopt sons of Adam, sons that were His sons, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, who in time fell in Adam, sinned in Adam, rebelled in Adam. But as I said last week, the eternal purpose of God has never been thwarted by Adam's rebellion. The love of God, the electing grace of God, is not done away with because of God's purpose to show mercy. Man, chosen of God, has a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, predestination, according to this scripture, has to do with this: the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That's what predestination is all about. God has determined that He's going to adopt children into His family. Adopt them. Now, I want to ask a few questions about adoption. Number one, what is that? What is adoption? Is what it is. It is the taking of a person out of one family and placing them in another family, in one's own family. If you're doing the adopting, it's to take a person out of one family and place them in your own family with all legal obligations met by the one doing the adopting. No obligations met on the child that is being adopted. The child is the adopted one. The parents that's doing the adopting has all the responsibility to meet all the regulations required by law. The one doing the adopting. Nothing on the part of the adopted one is required. He's the recipient of the adoption. It is a taking out of one family, placing one into another family, all legal obligations met, whereby that adopted person, with all obligations met, is truly the child of the adopting parent and no more the child of the family in which he was born. No more. No more. I had my daughter and her husband, Jimmy, adopted Amber and Clara. They're actually Sarah's girls. Sarah remarried, married Jimmy, Jimmy Jennings. And Jimmy Jennings adopted those two girls. And those two girls' names is Jennings. New birth certificate. New birth certificate. Those two girls born to Jimmy Jennings. Jimmy's girls. Adopted them. He's responsible. Adoption. Taking out of one family and placed into another family. And the adopted one now are truly, legally, children of the parent that has done the adopting. And no more, no more children of the family that they came out of. The Father eternally purposed and predestinated that His chosen would be delivered from the power of darkness and Satan and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what adoption is. You take them out of the family in which they were born, you put them into another family, and they're now truly, legally children of that adopting parent. Secondly, what is the merit? I won't go into the merit of the natural adoption, but I'll just talk about the adoption into the family of God. What is the merit of being adopted into God's family? Well, I can tell you this. Whatever the merit is, whatever the requirements are to be adopted into the family of God, you write this down, we'll never meet them. Not by works of righteousness that we've done to be sons of God, adopted into God's family. God's children must be holy, without blame, righteous. Look, that's what it said in verse 4, Ephesians 1, 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We need a righteousness to be in God's family that we can't produce. Be adopted into the family of God. There was one way that we would have that which was absolutely required to be chosen in Christ, and that the Father, having chosen us in Christ, would accept us in Christ. You think that the Father, from before the foundation of the world, having chosen us in Christ, in Him, do you think the Father justified the one in whom we were chosen? That Christ is God's servant, His chosen, His elect. That's what He said. Consider, mine elect, my servant, my holy one. You think the Father justified Him as being the accepted substitute for God's people? He said, absolutely. Well, I can tell you this, He accepted all in Him too. All that Christ represented. In Adam, we were born depraved, dead, trespasses and sins. But being found in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Born dead, I can't make myself alive. I cannot birth myself. When a windmill blows, what makes the windmill turn? You say the wind. That's right, the wind. Where did the wind come from? Now, if you say that, or believe like men say that men have a will, have a free will to cause that effect to come to them, you'd have to say, well, the windmill made the wind. It was a windmill that made the wind. You said, no. No, the windmill turned because the wind blew it, but God sent the wind. You cannot give credit to the object that's being worked upon to be the source of life. Almighty God chose us in Christ, the one who everlastingly stood and answered for all of God's people for holiness. And listen to this. If I'd ask you, why did Christ come into this world? Why did Christ come into this world? I know what you're doing. You're thinking of every scripture that you've ever heard. You've sat here for years and years and years, and you think, well, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's right. Turn to Galatians. Just turn back forward, turn back two or three pages here. Galatians 4, 4 to 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Why did Christ come into this world? Here it is, Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God had predestinated His people, us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. He came here on purpose. Adoption. The translating of one out of one family into another family. What's the merit of it? That they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. To be adopted into the family of God, we must have no sin. No sin to answer for. He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There is there, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Be adopted into God's family. We must be righteous. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Robed in His righteousness, we stand before God Almighty righteous, found in Him holy, no blame. What is adoption? The translation. What's the merit? Christ. Christ. He's our righteousness. Thirdly, when? How's this known? How is adoption manifested? There's a sense in which you'd have to say that adoption is eternal because God is eternal, because God has ordained it. The counsel of God. And therefore it has always been. But there's also a sense in which it's going to be manifested and brought forth in time. And the bringing forth in time is not what caused it to be. God's purpose, God's will is what caused it to be. God manifested it in time. I was talking about eternal justification. When is a man justified? Well, you're going to have to say that a man was justified freely by God's grace eternally because God purposed it. As I said a moment ago, as He accepted the one in whom we're justified, He accepted us. But then the Scripture also said that we were justified by His blood. You can say this, when He died, we were justified. Then we're justified when He grants us faith. The faith didn't justify us. Justification was the evidence to each one of us. I can't see what's in your heart. I can't see faith in your heart except as the way it's manifested. So James said, we're justified by works. Not justified because of them. But works evidences our justification. So we're justified freely by His grace. We're justified by His blood. We're justified by faith. We're justified by works. And the Lord said, by a man's words, he'll be justified. Out of the abundance of his heart. And we say, well, I don't see how all those, they stand to fall together. How about adoption? God ordained. God predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. God purposed it. But He's going to accomplish it. He's going to accomplish it in time. He accomplished it. How was it manifested? Well, turn back to Galatians 4 again. I'm going to look at this one more time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Verse 5 says it. This is the reason He came into the world, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Look at verse 6. And because ye are sons, because you were sons before, because you were already sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When is this adoption manifested? It's openly manifested in regeneration. That's when it's manifested. Look over Ezekiel 37. This is the passage where God sent Ezekiel up, preached to the valley of, in the valley of dry bones. And there was a bunch of bones around there, and they were very, very dry, Scripture says. And the Lord told Ezekiel to preach to them. Look at Ezekiel 37. Now, spiritually speaking, the grave is being spoken of here as calling out of darkness, out of death of our nature. Ezekiel 37, verse 11 to 14. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Not Israel, natural Israel, but spiritual Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Now, this is the way God regenerates a man. Here's the way he does it. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, spiritual. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live and I shall place you in your own land. I'll take you out of where you were. I'm going to put you in what I've said you're going to have. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. In regenerating grace, turn to James 1:18. In regenerating grace, Almighty God, having predestinated His people unto the adoption of sons, He determined it. Christ is the merit of it. And in time, the Spirit of God brings it forth. Look at James 1:18. The Scripture says, of His own will, begat, birthed He us with or by the word of truth through the preaching of the gospel, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. I jotted this down today. I read that scripture and I wrote this down. Being born of God, we are actually the offspring of God Almighty. God has birthed His people in regenerating grace. Dear brethren, adoption by Jesus Christ to the Father Himself is a miracle of God's grace. In adoption, you have a new name. You have a new name. Isaiah 62:4 says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, that is, my delight is in her. And thy land, Beulah, are married, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. When the Lord was wrestling with Jacob, you know the story. He wrestled all night with Jacob. The Lord said, turn me loose. Only reason Jacob held on to him was because the Lord wouldn't let Jacob go. And the Lord asked Jacob, he said, what's your name? Jacob said, my name's Jacob. He said, not anymore. He said, thy name should be called Israel, a prince with God. You got a new name. In election, God has chosen to show mercy and has predestinated His people, adopt them into His family. He's going to give them a new name. This is your new name. Your new name is married. Your new name is My Delight Is With Her. That's your name. Sons of God, you got a new name. Secondly, in adoption, we have a new nature. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new spirit also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now listen, you know, humanly speaking, we can adopt a child and you can give them a new name. But I tell you what you can't do. You can't give them a new nature. You can't change what's inside. But Almighty God does. God Almighty has given His people a new name. Their name is Israel. Spiritual Israel. A prince with God. And He said, I'm going to give you a new nature. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new will. I'm going to put My Spirit in you. And that which is born of God doesn't sin. That which is born of God doth not sin. That's what 1 John 3:9 says. I've got an old nature that does nothing but sin. And the Word of God declares that if He has regenerated me by His grace and power, He's put a new nature in me, adopted me into His family, and all the requirements for that adoption, Christ has met, is finished. And Almighty God in time comes in regenerating grace by His Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And He rebirths, born from above, born again. He said, I opened your grave. I gave you a new nature. I gave you life. I said live to you. We're not governed anymore. He said, I'm going to take away that heart of flesh, a heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I've said before, that heart of stone, it doesn't govern anymore. I've said, sin shall no more have dominion over you. But it's there. That old man is there. And there's a war that's going on. But there's a new man. Heard Brother Henry say this. He said he's the stronger of the two. He's born of God. That old man still wars against him. But that new man believes God, worships God. That new man doesn't sin. One day, this old body of flesh, this old wretched man that we are, is going to be separated. We're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to see Him as He is and be like Him. I still can't get over that. We come out of an old family of rebellion. And Satan comes and he tempts and tries to draw away and sidetrack. And a believer, led by the Spirit of God, says, you know what? You're not my father. You're not my father anymore. I have a new father who's regenerated me in grace and power. Give me a new heart. And I love Him. I love Him who first loved me. A man that is adopted into the family of God loves God and he loves God's people. And he follows after Christ. He's obedient. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to hear. He's faithful to support the ministry. He's faithful to follow after the ones called him. Got a new name, got a new nature. And lastly, we got a new inheritance. Well, made new to us. Made known to us. It's always been ours in Christ. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8:15-17. Here's a new, this is our inheritance. Romans 8:15-17. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, Mitch, you know that that's your son. Mitchell, you know that's your dad. You know your dad. God's people know their dad. They know their father. Abba is my father. I'm a father. I've got children. I am a father. But I'm not Mitchell's father. Mitchell's friend, but I'm not his father. We've received the spirit of adoption. And God's people know their Father. And they cry to Him, call to Him. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And we know that we are what we are by the grace of God. And we make no claim. We didn't put ourselves in the family of God. He did. We didn't choose. He did. We didn't will. He did. We didn't perform. He did. We didn't answer. He did. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Can you imagine the presumption of a man coming up to someone else? Another father who has children of his own, this man says, whatever you have come into them, that's part of mine too. You say, no. No, you're dreaming. No, this is my kids. It's belong to my kids. Can you imagine me presumptuously thinking I'd make myself an heir of God? A joint heir with Christ? Can you imagine the arrogance of saying that whatever Christ is due is mine too? Can you imagine? That's insanity to think what belongs to Him belongs to me because I say so. But that Almighty God would send forth the Spirit of His Son and make us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All being His children in adopting grace. What is the Lord Jesus Christ's? Us being chosen in Him. Almighty God says to us, it's yours. It's all yours. What a humbling thought. Lord, that You would look upon such a wretch as I and by Your grace would show mercy to me like old Mephibosheth. Who am I that You should show mercy to a dead dog like I am? Syrophoenician woman, I'm a dog. But even the dogs lick the crumbs that come from the master's table. Predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And then back in Ephesians 1 and verse 6, I'm going to just read this and then I'm going to close. We're predestinated. God has determined the destination beforehand. He's going to adopt some children. He's going to adopt them. He's going to make them what they are by His grace and power through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me tell you what else He's predestinated us to. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He did what He did because He chose to, because it pleased Him to. And He did it that He might receive all the honor and the glory and the praise the ages to come, that He might be honored in His precious Son, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Not acceptable. He made us accepted in the Beloved. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. Brother Pat.